Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter earnings call. I'm joined today by Richard Gibson, our CFO, who will speak to you momentarily. We have a large audience today, as we have extended an open invitation to everyone who has contacted us since the roadshow. We thank all of you in advance for taking the time to be on our call today, and we are looking forward to walking you through the results. Similar to last time, we will be recording this call, and we'll post it to our website right after this meeting for easy access by all. Before I turn it over to Richard, I wanted to tell you how pleased I am with our second quarter results. We posted strong top-line sales growth and strong earnings growth, and once again outperformed the other major players in the market. As a result of our strong performance in both quarter one and quarter two, we've exceeded our internal plans on a year-to-date basis. The management team maintains a positive outlook for the remainder of the year as well. In addition, I'm also pleased to announce that we have opened 5 new stores this year, all of which opened in the second quarter, and 2 of which are in 2 new cities for Mata-Hari department stores. Now I'll turn it over to Richard Gibson, our CFO, who will go through the results in more detail.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everybody. Similar to our Q1 call, at 4 o'clock today, we posted 3 announcements to IDX and to our website. Our second quarter financial statements, summary slides for our second quarter results that we will talk through today, and a brief press release. I'll be talking you through the earnings slides, which will take probably around 15 minutes, and then Mike and I will have a Q&A session with you afterwards. If you have any questions after the call, once you've reviewed the detailed financial statements, please feel free to contact us on our investor relations email, which is ir@matahari.co.id. I'll now run through an overview of our first half and second quarter results, referencing the summary slides we posted to the website. And also to assist you, we also emailed them to each of your email addresses so that you can follow along on the call. So let's start off. Let's turn to page 4. These are the key highlights of the first half. As Mike said, it's been a strong quarter for us, building on our Q1 performance. We opened 5 new stores, bringing the total to 121. We achieved strong sales and earnings growth. We delivered a 14.9% comp store sales growth in Q2, which brings the year-to-date comp store to 14.1%. In addition, following the $700 billion voluntary debt prepayment that we made in Q1, an additional prepayment was made today, July 31st, for 400 billion rupiah. Now I'm going to run through a brief business update. So let's turn to page 6. Firstly, I'll run through our year-to-date results. Later in the presentation, I'll specifically cover Q2. So overall, year-to-date, we achieved total gross sales of 5160 billion rupiah, which was an increase of 19.4% over last year, a year-to-date same-store sales growth of 14.1%. Our merchandise gross margin improved 20 basis points over 2012, and our net income increased 68.3% to 265 billion rupiah. Page 7 shows the growth in our major headings. For the first half, gross sales were up 19.4% to 5160 billion rupiah. Our adjusted EBITDA was up 16.9% to 719 billion rupiah. And as I mentioned before, our net income was up 68.3%. to 265 billion rupiah. Just to give you a little bit more detail, on page 8, In terms of sales, we saw growth across all of our merchandise categories, with particular strength continuing in Q2 on our private label business. For the year to date, direct purchase now represents 31.9% of our business, compared to last year at 29.1% for the whole of 2012. If you turn to page 9, as Mike mentioned, we have now opened 5 new stores this year. We believe that we're on track with an average of 15 stores a year over the next 3 years. We do anticipate, however, opening approximately 10 stores this year, 15 next year, and 20 the year after. We've had some slippage from developers. However, we are mitigating that by continuing to strengthen our store pipeline. In terms of the new stores that we've opened this year, we opened a store in Surabaya on the 10th of April, a store in Palangkaraya on the 24th of April, and that was a new city for us, a store in Palembang on the 30th of May, a store in Palopo, which is in Sulawesi, which is a new city for us, on the 13th of June, and a store in Depok on the 27th of June. If you look on page 10, I think this slide is quite interesting. You can see our current store pipeline, which has increased again. For those of you that recall, the last time the total for 2013 and beyond was 65 locations. That has now risen to 75 locations, including the 5 that we have opened this year. So we're continuing to build our store pipeline. The chart also shows the split of our existing stores. So as of today, we now have 36% outside of Java. And you can also see the pipeline of future stores, well over half of which are outside of Java, where we continue to enjoy higher sales productivity and profitability. Moving on to page 12, we have broken out our Q2 results. You can see here that actually in 2012, our sales were up 17.7%. And you can see that our Q2 sales growth accelerated, increasing 20.4%, which brings the year-to-date increase now to a 19.4% increase. This sales performance has been driven by very strong same-store sales increases. And on page 13, we've laid it out. You can see it quite nicely here. You can see that our comp performance did accelerate in Q2, with same-store sales up 14.9%, which, as we talked about earlier, brings the year-to-date comp increase to 14.1%. You know, we have seen a continuation of very strong traffic and higher spend per customer in Q2. In fact, Q2 was stronger than Q1. So essentially what we're seeing is we're seeing more people visiting our stores, and those that are visiting our stores are spending more. Moving on to page 14. On page 14, you can see that, as we anticipated, we do see continued OPEX pressure. And as I say, many of you realize there are 3 or 4 drivers that we have discussed before. Firstly, of course, the minimum wage increase. Secondly, the electricity increases. Thirdly, in the quarter, we opened 5 new stores, and we've also put on some additional staffing to support our very strong direct purchase business, which, as you can see, helps push up the company's gross margin. One thing to know, though, this is a very positive aspect. On a comp store basis, in Q2, we actually leveraged our operating expense as a percent of sales and grew our comp store EBITDA by 20 basis points as well. If we look at page 15, this shows our adjusted EBITDA, so this is before severance provision, In Q2, we increased our EBITDA by 17.3%, bringing our total increase over last year to 16.9%. And as Mike mentioned earlier, that did exceed our internal plan. And essentially, our EBITDA was 719 billion year to date, or 13.9% of sales. So essentially, you can see we picked up 20 basis points on gross margin, left 50 basis points on OPEX, so net, we were 30 basis points behind last year. However, we are moving into the period of the remainder of the year where we anticipate the most leverage. On page 16, you can see here that our net income grew by 62.4% in the quarter, so a very solid performance. And year to date, our net income grew by, as we said before, 68.3%, coming in at 265 billion rupiah. Now, just to point out, that growth is based on using a 25% base corporate tax rate that is projected to change to 20% after Q3, retrospectively for the whole year, once we've fulfilled the six-month qualifying period. And in fact, at a 20% base rate, the net income would have been 296 billion, which would have been an 88% increase over last year. On page 17, you can see from the chart here, it shows our total debt reducing from 2959 to 2280 at the end of Q2, and as of today, down to 1883. So as I mentioned earlier, following the Q1 prepayment of 700 billion, we did make an additional 400 billion payment today, and we are on track with our debt repayment schedule as we move through the remainder of the year. It also shows our effective interest rate in the half declining from 13.4% to 11.4% as a result of the refinancing that we did last year. Obviously, our current interest rate going forward is JIBOR plus 4.75, which after the recent increase in interest rates is approximately 10.75%. If we turn to page 18, the chart on page 18 shows the growth we had over the chain in Q2 and year to date. You can see that we continued with strong sales across the region. Jakarta was strong after the floods in Q1 and had a same-store sales growth of 17.4%, as was the rest of Java, which was particularly strong, coming in at 18.5%. We also had a solid performance outside of Java as well, came in at 9.8% for the quarter, so basically 10% for the year to date. We're still feeling the effect outside of Java with some ongoing refurbishments in some of our stores and a small amount of cannibalization. On page 19, you can see our financial summary. I won't walk you through this, but you can see here we just summarized our performance by quarter and for the half compared with the first half last year. So in summary, if we look on page 21, just to kind of wrap up, because we want to allow plenty of time for questions, you know, our results in Q2 continue to show an accelerated strength in sales and earnings growth, very solid performance, definitely driven by an increase in customer demand, both in terms of traffic and in terms of spend per transaction. Mike mentioned earlier, we continue to have a positive outlook for the balance of the year, and as I mentioned, our accelerated debt repayments are very much on track for 2013. And obviously, our store pipeline continues to grow, which, of course, is very important, particularly as we see a little bit of slippage from some of the developers. So anyway, thank you very much for listening to us today. I hope you all received your emails with the slides and the detailed financial statements. Now we'll open it up to to questions and look forward to talking to you.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star 1 now. So that's star 1 for questions, comments, or feedback. And we have our first question, and it comes from the line of Divya Gangar from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Richard. Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking this call. Just 2-3 questions from my side. The first one, if you can give me a little bit more color on the breakup of the same-store sales growth, particularly, if you can share a little bit on the direct purchase versus the consignment, and also if you can share if there were some element of an ASP or a price increase in this. The second question is, if you can just explain probably a little bit more to us on, you know, your concept of pipeline. Like when you say that there are slippages from property developers, does that mean that those malls are cancelled, or does that mean that it gets delayed by a few months? As we see the pipeline building in, if you can just explain to us, like, when do you count a store as a pipeline? When you're in talks with the developer, or you just think it's a good location, just a little bit more color on that. And lastly, I wanted to just get a sense that given the overlap of back to school and Labaran this time, is some of that, some of the June performance could be a function of that as well, or have you done anything differently this year to space out the promotions for these two big events? Thanks.
Hi, Divya. This is Richard. How are you doing?
Hey, Richard. I'm fine. Thanks so much.
Good. Yeah, just to give you, because I think it's quite interesting, just to give you a little bit more color around the same-store sales growth in the second quarter. So, as we said, in total, the sales growth was 14.9%. And I think what's particularly interesting is that the volume element of that was around 11%. And the pricing, the average unit retail change, was around 3.5%. So that compares with Q1, and in Q1 we had a same-store sales increase of 13.2%, of which 8.9% was volume and 3.9% was AUR. So basically what we've seen as we move into Q2 is actually an acceleration in the volume, which, as we talked about earlier, we definitely believe is driven by more people moving into our segment, possibly trading up to Matahari, and the people who are shopping us at the moment are clearly spending more in terms of average ticket as well. So it certainly seems to be all coming together in the right way.
Right.
I think the next question, I think if I got it right, was you asking about the store pipeline and the developer slippage. The developer slippage is definitely delay and not cancellation. As you know, a number of our stores are earmarked to open before LeBaron, and a number are earmarked to open after LeBaron. The ones that open after LeBaron typically are towards the very end of the year. So just to be prudent, we just wanted to indicate that it's likely that they will slip into 2014.
Right. And in terms of the MOUs signed, how many of the MOUs have actually been signed? And for the balance, when do you count a store to be as part of your pipeline?
So just to give you a bit of a flavor, so, and we've mentioned this in the financial statements, so basically we currently have 10 MOUs currently for future stores. Does that make sense? So that would cover the balance of stores for this year and the first few stores for next year.
Got it.
We consider a store to be in our pipeline if we think it is a viable site before we have the final negotiations on price and et cetera, and the format of the mall.
Okay, got it. So you basically want to talk to some developers on a particular location, then you count it as one of the potentials. Understood.
Well, we've already ruled out the fact that it's not going to be a cannibalization issue, but we've already also done it by that time. To have it in the pipeline, we've already considered it and understand that it's in a viable area for us to open if, in fact, we can reach negotiations successfully with the vendor.
Understood.
That cover all your questions, Divya?
No, just one on the overlap between back to school and LeBaron, and you know, if that got reflected somewhat in the month of June, or is there something differently in terms of your marketing?
There was really nothing different we did in our marketing, and we don't think that the shift had any material effect on the second quarter. The paydays are aligning very well this year. We have the same number of paydays covering LeBaron and Holiday together as we did last year, which is 3. So there's no plus or minus in the coming to us because of any shifts.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you. And the next question comes from Addy from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mike and Richard. This is Reggie. I'm Addy from Deutsche Bank. First of all, congratulations on the strong set of results, especially on the same store sales growth, which is the highest among all the retailers in Indonesia. Just have a few questions for you. The first question is that post the fuel price hike on June 22nd, did you see any impact at all in terms of consumer demand?
We saw absolutely no negative impact.
Absolutely no negative impact. Okay, that's great. The second question would be on your store expansion plan. So it seems like everything is still on track and you've actually increased the number of stores in your pipeline. But my question is that, you know, given the current macro environment, under what conditions would you consider revising down that store expansion plan?
Well, obviously, if the economy really slowed up, there might be consideration there. But however, I've got to point out, we're outperforming the market so much right now that, in our opinion, there's no slowdown at all. In fact, there's been an acceleration in the second quarter. So that's really where our feelings are right now.
Okay, so it's still very far away, and unless there's a considerable slowdown in demand, then
yes.
We'll keep on your expansion. But okay, that's great. Last two questions would be more housekeeping type questions. First of all, could you give us an update on your latest selling space in terms of square meters? And then the last one would be on your loan. You mentioned that it was JIBOR plus 475 basis points. Could we get clarity on whether that's 1 month JIBOR, 3 month JIBOR, and also is it reset on a quarterly basis? Thanks.
Sure, I can help you there. So as of the end of 2012, we had 750,024 square meters. We added 5 stores, which was an addition of 27,965 square meters. So today we have 777,988. And currently, I mean, we have the flexibility to have 3 months JIBOR or 1 month JIBOR. Currently, we are locked into 3 months JIBOR. The reason why we may move to 1 month is we just want to maintain maximum flexibility to allow us to continue with our debt pay down schedule, which is definitely tracking to our plan.
Okay, great. So I guess the reset then, it depends on whether it's 1 month or 3 months in terms of the reset.
Correct.
Okay, great. That's that, Richard.
Okay, thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Rona from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Joshua and Rona here. I have 2 questions. Just more color on the first half breakdown of revenue between IT retail sales and the consignment. Year on year, it seems to me that the consignment growth hasn't been as strong as the retail sales. second question relates to the loans. If I look at the cash flow statement, in the first half, you add 250 billion rupiah loans and pay down 950 billion loans. Want to have a clarification on the 250 billion additions. Thank you.
Sure. So Michael talked to the DPCV, but on the loan, just to clarify, you'll see in the cash flow statement, as you quite rightly point out, you have the 250 and the 950. It's because the 250 was the revolving credit facility that we used temporarily during the quarter. That was then repaid. So net-net, as you can see, if you take the two figures together, we made the prepayment of 700 billion. Yeah, and so that's what we then followed up with the 400 billion that we did today. So as of today, we now have paid 1.1 trillion rupiah down in debt.
In regard to the balance of sales increases between our direct purchase programs and our consignment area, I mean, if you really look at the history of Motihari, that floats back and forth, and you'll see them bounce back and forth between each other as far as the growth rates over the years. But what we're finding right now is that it's been affected by three issues. First is that we put some new procedures in and through merchandising concepts in our direct purchase area beginning 2 years ago. We brought in some additional expertise to help us do that, and we're really getting extraordinary payoff in it right now. Second thing is that a number of our stores that we're putting in on the outer islands are going into lesser areas of less affluence than, of course, in the Jakarta area. And that both, and our price points are such in our direct purchase programs are substantially below our prices on our consignment programs. So that's also affecting us in a very positive way. The third thing is that with the increase of the minimum wage, as you would expect, with us being the absolute store where people aspire to shop when they hit the middle class, it's drawing a whole new group of consumers in from the former lower income groups, and they're buying at the lower edge of the middle income segment. So it's all just coming through as a confluence. There's nothing there to worry about. As we've talked to you before, it doesn't matter to us whether we sell consignment merchandise or direct purchase merchandise, because on the bottom line, on the net line, the operating profit is very much the same.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Samada from HSBC Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, Michael and Richard. Thank you so much for hosting this call. It's Samada from HSBC Research in Singapore. I've got a few questions. First, could you comment on competition and who? I know you'd probably like to say that nobody comes near to Motihari, and probably that's very true. But who's making sort of aggressive expansion in the market that you see currently in terms of nearest competition? Secondly, does Motihari have any U.S. dollar sensitivity? And if it does, by how much? Apparently, we've been hearing from a few sources that rental rates in malls are increasing, and what because of mall shortage, and what would that how would that impact your cost side? So maybe I'll just stop there and then follow on with the last few remaining questions that I have.
I'll start with the competition. Yes, everybody's talking about coming in here, but as we've spoken before, the people that are coming in are coming in at a much higher price point than Motihari department stores. And one of those reasons is that in order to import merchandise here, they're going to have to come in at much higher price points than we have in our floor, and 90% of our merchandise is done in Indonesia. To give you an example, there's certain items here, without calling out names of manufacturers, where the retail price here on certain items, particularly in the home area, on American manufacturers, is five times the retail price as it is in Indonesia. So you can see we're at a very competitive advantage by doing most of our merchandise here in Indonesia. And I'll let Richard talk about the other two factors.
Yeah, in terms of U.S. dollar sensitivity, we don't really have any foreign exchange exposure at all. You know, our loan, as I'm sure you're aware, is denominated in rupiah, and more than 90% of our purchases are from locally sourced suppliers, so we don't have any FX exposure. In terms of store rentals, you know, we're not really seeing it. because, you know, there is a little bit more pressure on rentals in the Jakarta area, because there is a little bit more competition for space, but it's really more at the higher end, you know, where you have Gallery Lafayette and some of these people who are bidding for space. So when we look at our current rental rates and the rental rates that we have in our pipeline, we are not seeing any significant shift. The other thing to remember is that, of course, you know, our pipeline is now beginning to be weighted outside of, not mostly in Jakarta, but out of Java. And there we continue to see favorable rental rates, and we're definitely able to leverage our position as the anchor tenant of choice. So, you know, we feel pretty comfortable. And we have a pretty good visibility into this going out a number of years, because as you probably are aware, you know, we enter into typically long lease terms with a 10-year primary and 2 5-year options, and we try to fix the rental rates by year up front.
Thank you very much for that. I've got two more questions. One, are there any plans to launch an online site to your business, given that, you know, brands like Zalora are selling more clothing online? And in regards to your preference in second tier or third tier cities in Indonesia, do you prefer to locate in malls or more like a standalone type of stores, and why? Thank you.
Well, first of all, we have no plans to do online shopping in the immediate future, within the next 24 to 36 months. We will keep our eye on that. There's a lot of barriers for that to be successful in Indonesia right now. But I assure you, no one's in a better position to go online shopping when the time comes than the most dominant moderate department store in Indonesia. So we will keep our eyes on that when the appropriate time comes, so we'll make that decision. But right now, it's not in the cards for the next 24 to 36 months. Second question was,
so in terms of, yeah, so our preference in terms of malls or standalone outside of Java or outside of Jakarta or anywhere, actually, is definitely our strategy is to get into regional malls. You know, that is almost all of our future pipeline, because we feel that malls represent a great destination for people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Adrian from Mandaya Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, Richard. Thank you for taking the calls. I'm Adrian Joseph from Mandaya Securities. So I have a few questions on the loans repayment. So basically, you were saying that the debt repayment for these years are on track with your internal plan. So can you just give some color on the second half repayment? And the second one is on the revolving credit facility. Or will you plan to draw down some more in the second half or in the third quarter leading to Ramadan festival? And also at the same time, what will be the interest rates? And the last question is on the same store sales growth. Can you share with me in terms of the breakdown for the volume driven proportion of volume growth for the same store sales growth for Java and non Java?
Okay, well, we've got that's a lot of questions there. we did indicate in the OC, I believe, that we would be paying down between 1.1 and 1.5 trillion for the year. So as you're aware, as of today, we've now repaid 1.1 trillion, and we definitely believe that we're on track in terms of our planned repayments for the balance of the year. They will be weighted to the fourth quarter. Having said that, we do not see any future use of our revolver as we move through the rest of the year. In terms of interest rate, I think you're probably best able to forecast that yourself. I'm not sure that we're going to, I couldn't predict what movements there'll be in interest rates going forward. We're not able to provide the breakdown. It's just one of the things that we monitor internally, obviously, but we have not shared publicly the breakdown between volume and AUR outside I mean, at a regional level. Having said that, I would say to you very much what we said at the roadshow, in the, you know, we still continue to look at our business, slicing and dicing it, you know, by geography, by type of mall, by store size, and we continue to be very, very consistent in our performance. I think that hopefully gives you enough color around that.
Okay, thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Erwin from CIMB. He's there.
Hi, thank you. Richard and Mike. I've got two questions. First question, in one of your slides you mentioned that your average interest cost is about 11.4% in the first half. When I tried to work out on the finance cost that is recorded, 178 billion for the first half, it didn't work out too well. If you could please give a split on the finance cost, whether there's any other component outside of interest expense on the finance cost. Secondly is on the higher gross margin of 20 basis points in the first half. Is that more driven by the higher proportion of DP over CV? And also along the lines of a higher ASP and also a higher exposure outside of Java area, are you still pretty much adopting a uniform pricing system? As far as I can remember, that's your pricing policy across Indonesia, even though you may see more opportunity to increase prices in a less competitive area. And lastly, is if you could also touch on a little bit about development in your loyalty program. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's a lot of questions. So, well, we may have to circle back around this if we've missed anything. Why don't we start and work backwards? In terms of our loyalty program, the loyalty program has been very successful this year. We've seen some particularly strong growth in our premium cards, which is our beauty card and our premium card. So at the end of June, we have over 2.6 million active customers. And year to date, you know, our MCC customers now account for 50% of our total sales. So the program continues to perform very strongly. And actually, to Mike's point earlier, if we ever do move into the online world, we would be very well positioned to leverage that loyalty base. So we're very happy with the performance there. In terms of the quick answer to your question about the gross margin being influenced by the direct purchase consignment mix, the answer to that is yes. Pricing policy. We haven't really discussed this too much because we don't have a lot of history with it, but we have started an experiment bringing in a second tier of prices in some very difficult, more difficult areas to get to where you have higher freight charges. We will probably be rolling that out to a few more stores by November 1st. But it will not be in a significant enough number of stores to affect the profitability for this year. The other question that you had was on the calculation of the interest expense. It gets a bit technical, so we may want to talk a little bit about that offline. But in the first half, there was an element, 23 billion, that related to the interest swap that we had put in place when we originated the term loan. So that adds to the difficulty in the calculations. I'm not entirely surprised you couldn't work that out. I think that the key thing is going forward, because the interest swap expired at the end of June, which we have noted in the financial statements, going forward, the full amount of the loan is at JIBOR plus 4.75. If you need more clarity on that, we can help you with some of your figures offline.
All right, thanks. Just to clarify, so for our calculation purposes, we can assume more or less your loan balance as of end of July probably, and going forward should be on a downward trend, and you'll be paying DIBOR plus 4.75 without the additional hedging costs. Would that be accurate?
That is correct.
All right, thank you.
I see. So once again, if anyone wishes to ask a question, has any comments, please key star one now. We have another question from June from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Richard. I have just a quick question on the rental again. I understand that, if you in the Jakarta area, the rental probably is slightly higher because of limited space, and you tend to grow more outside Java, and those areas outside Jakarta especially, probably the rental is lower. But I would imagine the rental inflation is inevitable, throughout the whole Indonesia island. So can you give me a sense, what kind of per annum step-up of the rental rates would be like now in Jakarta, Java versus in the region outside Java? Can I have a sense? Is it about 3% per annum, or is it 5 to 6% or even higher? Yeah. Thanks.
As you'll appreciate, this is obviously a very sensitive issue as it relates to our relationship with the landlords, because we're continually dealing with landlords. So we have not provided any guidance to give you an indication of what we feel rental rates may go up by, because we feel that wouldn't be in the best interest of the company. I think the one thing that you would probably want to think about, though, is that some of our stores are on a percentage rent basis, and clearly that the rental cost of those goes up as the sales go up. Yeah. The balance, which are fixed or step rent, we have essentially locked those in for a number of years to come. So we have a pretty good feel for the performance in terms of rental increases on those step rent stores. I think Mike and I mentioned that, that we believe that we will continue to achieve double-digit same-store sales increases this year and for the next couple of years after that. And that although we see pressure on the wage line, we believe that we have opportunities for leverage, which we've seen already, in the occupancy costs and our central G&A costs. And obviously our occupancy costs is primarily rent. So I think that hopefully that's enough to just give you a sense.
Probably you could remind me how many percent of your stores or leases are actually turnover rent, meaning, the percentage of your sales?
Sure. So just to give you a quick run through for folks, for everybody. So I'll use at the end of 2012. At the end of 2012, we had 116 stores, of which 75 of those were on a fixed slash step rent basis, and the balance of 41 were on a variable percentage rent basis. I would say, however, that the vast majority of our stores from 2013 and going forward will be fixed rent, fixed slash step rent, because that is our preference, given our strong same-store sales increase gives us the most opportunity for leverage.
I see. When you mentioned about the turnover rent, meaning 100% of your rent is pegged to sales, meaning you don't have, for example, 20% of your rent is pegged to sales and then the rest is fixed. It's not a mix, right? It's purely turnover rent. Am I right to say that?
That's a good way generally to look at it. If you visit our website, I'm not sure whether you've been able to print off our offering circular, but if you read through our offering circular, it gives you a lot more flavor around how generally those leases are structured. So if you feel free to have a look at that, and then if you have any other questions about that, you can feel free to email us.
Okay. Maybe just one last question. I'm sorry. I understand probably about half of your stores are actually, you know, from the group, you know, rent from your related group like Lippo Karawaci, etc. But how about those that are, you know, rent in premises that are not group related? Are those rental, are you able to share some of the rental rates?
No.
No. Okay.
We get this question a lot. Our dealings with, you know, group-related properties and the group itself, they're very much to us another landlord. So they're very arm's length third-party transactions, third-party-like transactions.
So maybe ultimately, who do you think have higher bargaining power here? You, or I know you are anchor tenant, or but the rental space are a little bit still quite under supply in Jakarta, in Indonesia as a whole. So who do you think have the higher upper hand?
I believe we do, because if you go outside of the Greater Jakarta area and Surabaya and Medan, there's no other department store that's going out in those areas. In fact, if a mall developer has a potential site and they want to show it to someone, they come to us, because if we do not agree to go in the mall, that mall, well over 95% chance that mall will not be developed. There's no other department store who will go out into that area. So we really have the leading edge there. Now, when you talk about Jakarta, yes, there's a number of stores coming in here at the high end. Where you're really seeing the accelerated rental rates is for what we call the better malls, where Louis Vuitton's going in, and Parkson, and Galleries Lafayette. So there's a lot of competition, and those spaces are going pretty much sky high as the people are competing for those limited slots, because there's not going to be that many better malls. But at the moderate level, we're not seeing the pressure there.
Moratorium.
Yeah, and so we really aren't seeing anything above inflation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So once again, if you wish to ask a question or have any comments, please key star 1 now. I have another question from Divya from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Richard, just a very quick housekeeping question. The way in the first quarter you had some one-off costs on consultant expenses, besides the employee benefit obligations. Is there any other adjustment that we need to be aware of when you report the adjusted EBITDA, or is it just the employee benefits that you've adjusted for?
It's the adjustment, severance, which we talked about, the one-off cost in the first quarter, and the only other piece is the financing amortization. But that's all.
Okay, so to arrive at that 422 EBITDA, the only thing that you've adjusted for is the severance.
Yes. And okay. if you work through it and you have difficulty just reconciling that, send us an email and we can help you.
Okay, no, that's fine. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Sure, thanks.
Okay, thank you. And our next question comes from Henry from BNP. Please go ahead.
Just one question. Could you give us more color on your customer count of traffic or your average per store, and also the basket, the average basket, and then how do you compare the figures from first half this year compared to last year? Thank you.
If I understand your question correctly. But what we typically do is that we'll look at our same store sales growth and we'll separate it between, we'll look at the volume impact of it and we'll look at the average unit retail impact of it. I think what's really interesting is, you know, our first half, if you look at the first half in total, there's a 14.1% comp, 10% was driven by unit volume increases, reflecting that strong traffic. In answer to your question, if you look at 2012, and you look at, let's say you take the whole of 2012, where we had 11.1% comp, actually only 2.5% of that was driven by unit volume increase. So we are seeing quite a significant strengthening in that. Now, internally, we break that down further. So we don't provide that information outside, but we obviously look at how our average, how our unit volume is impacted by visits and basket size. We don't have traffic counters per se in our stores because we can't cost justify them. But by looking at our basket size change and looking at our transaction count, we feel we can come up with a very good indicator of exactly what's happening at store level. And as I said today, basically all of that volume increase is being driven by an increase in customer traffic, and then in addition to that, an increase in average basket size. And I'm sorry, I missed your other question, I think. I hope I answered your question.
No, that's all. That's all my question. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think we've probably got time for maybe just one or two more questions, if there are any more.
Press star one if you wish to ask a question.
Okay.
There are no questions in the queue, Richard.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for participating. We're very excited about the results, and we look forward to talking with you more over the coming few months.
Thank you, everyone.